So before we begin the adults' message this morning, let me pray over the word and pray over the message in our prayer of illumination. Let's go again back to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, I come to you this morning and I ask your blessings on the words that we will read in Scripture. I ask you to bless the message that we will hear this morning together as we lift you up in worship. Lord, we are forever grateful of the many things that we share as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. But more especially, we are thankful for the blessings that you bestow on us daily. Let us now come together, hear your word, share in this message, and rejoice in this Advent season of hope, peace, joy, and love. All these things I ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 13. I'll be in the New Living Translation, and it begins in verse 4, and it takes us through 8. So again, I'll be in the New Living Translation. Your pew Bibles are slightly different, but they match fairly closely. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we are gathered here to celebrate our fourth Sunday in Advent, and our fourth Sunday on our journey to Bethlehem together. To date, we have celebrated hope that God gives us in knowing that what we see around us is not all that there is, and that God has so much in store for you and me, much more than we can observe. And we find in this season of hope, true hope. We also have celebrated God's peace and found that the peace that the Bible speaks of goes a lot deeper than the peace we sometimes visualize and perceive to be peace. When we celebrated the candle of peace this Christmas season, we also honored those who lost their lives in Pearl Harbor. In doing so, we acknowledge peace is more than the absence of war. It's more than the absence of conflict in our lives. Peace, and I do mean godly peace, comes from a relationship with God that transcends and superpasses all human understanding. We cannot understand the true peace of godly peace, but we do recognize it when we see it. Just last week, we celebrated joy. We laughed during the service as God used His purpose, His words, and the prepared message in that service to fill our hearts with an understanding of joy and human levity. As Christians who understand our salvation and who are called to receive the world with a joyful heart, we understand how joy and happiness and laughter opens our gate to our spirit. Thus, we can receive what we are faced with. This Advent season being the exception, we normally would be closing in on our final Sunday together in our journey to Bethlehem. As we discuss this morning yet the fourth candle that we celebrate, which is the almighty power of the love of God. Frankly, How can we celebrate this season of Advent, of Christmas, and not talk about the love of God that came in the form of a child to redeem you and me? The answer is, we cannot. We have spent a portion of November and the balance of December preparing for Christmas. As disciples of Christ, while journeying together, I have hopefully attempted to remind each of you that Christmas is more than just buying presents, wrapping them, and exchanging those gifts. It's more than eating and gathering with family, although these things are extremely important to us. This season of hope, peace, joy, and love is a journey of constant recognition of the gift of Jesus Christ. Friends, the world we live in will consume us. It will force us to be engulfed in the day's happenings. It'll cause us to miss what's important. It's terrible, but we are in a race of life. And my fear is that in the busyness of the holiday season, in the busyness of the Advent and Christmas season, I want to make sure that we don't miss Jesus. You see, this happens all too frequently. It's not intentional, but yet it still happens. Today I want to speak on God's love, not just because it's today's Advent theme, but because it demonstrates that unlike us, God has never, ever forgotten about me and you, regardless of how busy He is. And I would imagine that He is much more busy and busier than we can even fathom. Today we celebrate the love of God. Love, as the message title says, is the foundation to Christmas. Christmas represents the love of God. In many ways, we don't even recognize or realize the amount of love called upon us at Christmas. Christmas is recognized around the world as a holy season. And during Christmas, it is customary to share sentiments of hope, joy, and peace. Last week, while shopping on my way home from a work-related meeting in Richmond, the cashier rang me up and said, "Thank you, sir. Happy holidays." I replied back to her, "No, thank you, and Merry Christmas, ma'am." And passed a cross through our cross ministry to her when she handed me the receipt. Her facial expression was priceless. A tear began to come out of her left eye, so I followed up with this: "He is the reason for the season, isn't he?" She winked and said, "Thank you." Friends, as disciples of Christ, it's more than okay to say Merry Christmas. The reason that I built this sermon around, portion of this sermon around this statement is, Wade, several weeks ago, said, "You think it's okay if I just get up as a worship leader and say Merry Christmas?" Well, absolutely, it's okay to say Merry Christmas. Modern day communication wants us to learn a more neutral approach, find an accepted center perhaps. Employers have instructed their frontline staff to use the generic happy holiday statement and a greeting so that it's likely politically correct and it's not going to offend anyone, especially those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior like you and I know Him. But friends, what is our responsibility to Christ? What is our job as His disciples? Isn't to seek the lost and go and gather those people who do not know Him as their Lord and Savior and bring them to the house of God. Bring them to the halls of Bethel. Bring them to the church beloved by Christ Jesus Himself. It is our job. That's what we're called upon to do. So yes, Merry Christmas is most appropriate. In discussion later that same day with a friend about the love of Christmas, this topic came up again. And what's funny about that neutral advice is that the word holidays, well, it stems from the phrase holy days. So in effect, they are still recognizing the season as a holy time of year. If you really want to send them on a tailspin, though, when they say thank you and happy holidays, you respond with you too and may God bless you. I had a cashier say the other day, happy holidays, sir. I said, thank you, Merry Christmas, and may God bless you. Her eyes got so big, she never responded. I again passed her across at the receipt. Likely it's because the reason that she didn't respond, even if she was a devout Christian, was because she probably was held and bound by the rules of her profession. However, my sentiments to her should never stop just simply because she is bound by rules and governance not to share the same sentiment. But what I will tell you this young lady did, she came out behind the cash register and hugged me for my sentiments. Christmas is a time of love. Love known to mankind only through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, Christ is our Lord, and He came to endure this world for you and me out of pure and unconditional love. This is why we go to great lengths to lift the blessings of Christmas up in the world every year. Every year, we seem to battle to maintain Christmas traditions, maintain manger scenes, maintain Christmas plays and programs, maintain even the simplest of Christmas socials. We find common ground in our faith with many so we can be politically correct. At work, I have found my colleagues using the term holiday party. I said, if you come to our holiday party, you're going to miss our Christmas party. At Christmas time, more than ever, our text becomes more alive to me as I look to Christ for the meaning of what Christmas is. I have come to my own conclusion, and maybe you have as well, and I'm sure you have. I don't need to be politically correct. What I do need to be is correct. At least correct in the eyes of God. That is my responsibility. It is my relationship with Christ that saves me, not my relationship with the world. Not my relationship with the world. It gives me no salvation. It is by the love of Christ I am saved, not by the love of the world. In fact, I think if you polled the world and gave them my name, they wouldn't know who I was. And when you gave them your name, they wouldn't know you either. But Christ knows even how many hairs you have on your head. Which brings me to this point. There is someone who loves you as much today as He did the first time you recognized Him. His love never changes. He never has loved you more and will never love you less. God loves you the same all the time. He loves you so much, He sent His only Son to die on the cross so you can live with Him forever. I repeat some of the scriptures you've already heard this morning. John 3:16, 17 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but He sent Him to save it through Jesus. Have you forgotten those verses? Is the question this morning. Have you forgotten those verses? What I declare to you this morning is that your Lord has not forgotten you. Jesus said that this is how much I love you. How much He loves you and me. He came to die. He knew what He was coming for. In John 3:11, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen. Christ came into the world to redeem mankind. God incarnate. God in the flesh. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. That love that God has was the motivation for His plan for our salvation. God did not send Christ to us. God came to us in Christ. Fully God and fully man. Let me repeat that. God did not send Jesus Christ to us. God came to us as Christ Jesus. Fully man. Fully human. So that He could touch us. So that He could cross over to the other side and still remain in glory. Why? To save me and you. Let me say it this way. Every land and every world conquered by mankind, man had to figure out their way. From crossing the ocean into the New World, conquering the western territories of the United States, and then seeking a new world in the Antarcticas, and finally, our human exploration into space, which we call the new frontier. Man has devoted lifetimes, millions and billions of dollars, energy and effort to this discovery. And yet, this morning, here we celebrate a single man, a single being in the form of a child, brought to us in a short lifespan of 33 years. God conquered the world, and it all began on one holy night in Bethlehem, surrounded in one purposeful thing, love. It all was surrounded by love through the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. That was the most meaningful and life-changing gift that God could give us. It trumps any gift we could possibly give or possibly receive. It was the ultimate act of love. It was the most sacrificial gift ever given to mankind. And it remains that way today. The Apostle Paul captures the incarnate Christ when he writes these words. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul says. Salvation is found in no one else, Paul declares. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by whom we must be saved. Jesus is great. He is exceedingly mighty, spectacular. He is the King over all the earth. He is the Most High God. We remember that this time of year as we read, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, the angel said. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Friends, that's what love is about. I do not know what love would be if Christ had not come. You see, God's love is not based upon our behavior or our attitude. But the more we are with Him, the more we should love God and should love others because of God. God's love is unconditional. He loves us, every one of us. He came in the flesh, died on the cross, was resurrected, and now is sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, For what? For me and you. This is real love. All we have to do is believe. I would be remiss if I did not tell you that believe is an action word. It's present tense. It doesn't say believed, it says believe. Not once believed, now Jesus. Now, it's action, immediate. Now Jesus has to be our Lord and Savior. He has to be our shepherd in our daily lives. In many different chapters of my life, I have found my relationship with Jesus change, and I know each of you have as well. According to what I'm experiencing and what I have experienced as a man, He has been my counselor, Prince of Peace, Deliverer, and Comforter. He continues to reveal Himself to me in different and yet many more beautiful ways than I ever could imagine through this stage of life that I currently am in. But what I can tell you that has never been a misunderstanding to me and has yet never wavered in my life with me and my Savior is His love. And I am sure it's that way with each of you. This morning I find myself on a soapbox here, and I could go on and on. So in respect of your time, I want to close this message. So let me do it this way. We make so many promises during the holidays that we forget the promise God gave in Scripture and His fulfilled promise that we celebrate during this Advent season we lovingly call Christmas. So let's recap a minute to get our ships righted and get ourselves in the right direction as we head long into Christmas Day in 7 short days. Back in Genesis 12, God made a covenant with Abraham that He would make him a great nation and that He would bless him and make his name great. Abraham's descendants certainly became a great nation. God kept His promise. Through the lineage of Abraham, God blessed the world with the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Throughout Scripture, God continues to make promises to His people, to us whom He loves. And God, through His Son Jesus, extended the commandment for us to share with others the love that God gives to you and me. Jesus said it this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So friends, during this season of Advent, as we travel again headlong into Christmas Day, and it's coming. It's coming like a southbound freight train on a set of tracks with no stops. You're going to blink your eyes and it's going to be Christmas morning. So as we approach Christmas, I want you to remember these following things this Advent season. Remember the love of God. When you wake up each morning this coming week, tell God you love Him because He's already loved you. You're here. Then tell your spouse and your children you love them too. Then tell your neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor that you love them. And while you're at it, share with them Merry Christmas. And God loves you. This, after all, is our promise to God. You see, Jesus was born to change the world. When you share His love as it is intended, you and I can change the world by one action, one statement, one sentiment, one handshake, and one pat on the shoulder. The same way that He did in His short lifespan. So whether you are dreading this Christmas season as a result of stress, presents, travels, or even some financial woes, or you're excitedly, perhaps, anticipating all that it brings, keep in mind that Christ stands in victory here this morning. Don't let Satan enter your hearts this season as a result of those stresses and rob you of the hope, peace, joy, and love that it comes with being a Christian and knowing that Jesus Christ came to you in the form of God to save us. Christmas is a time when we remember that God's Son was born to live so that He could die for you and me. What a precious, precious thing to celebrate. Christmas is a time of miracles. And for 4 weeks, we have read miracle after miracle in the story of Christ's birth. Christmas is a time of miracles. For nothing is impossible with God. And finally, remember, love. Love, Christ's love conquers all. Jesus is love. Jesus, in His love, through His love, with you and me and others alike, conquered the world. Not only did He conquer the world, He conquered death. That is what love is about. And when you say the sentiments this year of Merry Christmas, may God love you. Remember, that's the love that you share. The real love of Jesus Christ. Amen.